Well, good morning. I'm Pastor JP. Welcome to Crossline. I'm so glad you're here, especially if you are a first-time guest. We like to say that we are a safe place to hear a life-changing message. And today we kick off a new series talking about our relationship with God and our relationship with one another, our relationship with people. It's all from Romans chapter 12. It's the Roman numeral 12, your best relationship with God and others. And before I get into the message, let me just give you a one-minute version on how to make the most of this series. So first of all, you're on the right foot, being here at our worship service, if you're listening online, to be watching us online, because for 5 weeks, we're gonna be unpacking this chapter of the Bible, and you're gonna wanna receive every verse-by-verse, phrase-by-phrase encouragement to help you have your best relationship with God and others. So first of all, being here in worship together. Secondly, joining one of our community groups, because we're gonna have community groups all over our area, and it's really in small groups that we do life with one another. This big church becomes small as we're able to be shoulder to shoulder with people in our homes, in somebody's living room, around a kitchen table, having something to eat, talking about real life, and then diving into these scriptures and these questions together. It will encourage you, and you'll be used to encourage someone else. So joining us in our worship service, going through the messages, being a part of community group, and then thirdly, there is in your bulletin a little guide. We are going to be doing another one of our 21 days of prayer that we do periodically throughout the year. And there is a list of all the scriptures that match the scriptures in the Romans 12, your best relationship with God and others. And then there's a guide for you just to have a little 10-minute devotion, unpacking that for yourself personally. And then a prayer that we all can be praying together for God to make us a contagious church, where we love one another and we have relationships where we really care and connect one another to God and to each other. So, listening to the messages, being in a small group, personally being in prayer and doing devotions, I can guarantee you that'll change your life. God will use that to meet you right where you are and take you to the next place in your relationship with God, because, as we're going to see this morning, it all begins with God. It all begins with God. In fact, turn to someone right next to you and just say that. Say, it all begins with God. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, one of the things that we understand about interpreting a passage of Scripture is you got to see it in its context. And this passage in particular jumps out to us when we see the context, not only in the immediate verses at the end of Romans chapter 11 and the verses that follow in Romans chapter 12, but the bigger context of the book. Because the first 11 chapters of Romans is the Apostle Paul making a theological statement of our great salvation in Christ. That salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And for 11 chapters, he piles spiritual truth after spiritual truth. Now, if you were doing personal Bible study and you came across a promise in the Bible, God's expected response for you is that you would claim it. You claim that promise. If you came across a command, the expected promise or the expected response would be to obey that command. When you see a truth statement, the expected response is to believe it. And so there are 11 chapters of truth statements that lead up to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. This is all the truth that God has presented to us that Paul summarizes just by calling it the mercy of God. It's just a statement of God's great salvation. Beginning in Romans chapter 12 is our response. And Romans 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 are a series of commands. What we're supposed to do in the light of all that God has said is true. And Romans 12, 1 is the first command in a series of commands. Romans 12, 1 is telling us the most important thing to do in light of the mercy of God, and how everything else follows this most important thing to do. So Romans 12, 1 says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So we're going to see, because it's all about God, the mercy of God, the worship of God, the obedience to God, and the will of God. So first of all, the mercy of God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy, you see, it all begins with God. The Apostle Paul, in wanting to get into his exhortation to what we're supposed to do, summarizes 11 chapters of the Bible by just calling it the mercy of God. The mercy of God. Well, what's in those 11 chapters that qualify as the mercy of God? Well, it's the great plan of salvation that God's made available for us in Christ. Paul talks about the fact that, first of all, he tells us the bad news, the first three chapters of Romans, that we all have a sin problem. Every person, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have a sin problem in our very DNA. In fact, we have a genetic sin problem. We come into this world as sinners. And then we choose our own particular style of sinning. And some of us have got it down to a science, you know. I mean, we really got our style down. That's the bad news. But the good news is, even though the wages of sin is death, the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. God has provided us out. Hey, thank you for that, amen. By the way, my preaching gets better the more you respond to it. I'll just tell you that. The good news of salvation is that our sin has been dealt with by a holy God. Jesus actually died for our sin. He died in our place. He fulfilled the law on our behalf. He lived a sinless life. And so when Jesus went to the cross, he was a substitute and he received all of our punishment for sin, and we received by faith the very righteousness of God. I mean, that's a pretty good exchange. We give God our sin, he gives us his righteousness. And right now, for every believer in Christ, there's no condemnation. Because Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now, right now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So not only did we receive the grace of God and the salvation of God in Jesus Christ, we've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Romans 7:8 describes that we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So God isn't just with us, he's actually in us. We have the promise of his love that nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. That's the end of Romans chapter 8. And then we have the awareness that this personal plan of God's salvation that he makes available to anybody who calls on him, it actually fits in to a larger universal kingdom plan that God has for planet Earth. The plan that he has for his chosen people, Israel, and he has for the Gentiles, and how God in this large plan has a personal plan for each one of us. And so Paul looks back on that and says, that's the mercy of God. That's the mercy of God. You see, it all begins with God. We, human beings, each one of us, we are always responders. God is always the initiator. We're always responders. God is always the initiator. And in Romans chapter 12, what he's going to tell us is he created us for relationship. First a relationship with God, and then a relationship with people. You'll never have your best relationship with people till you have your best relationship with God. You'll never have your best relationship with God until you offer your whole life to God. Your best marriage begins with you doing business with God. Your best family life begins with you being in a right relationship with God. Your best relationship with your neighbors begins with you getting reconciled to God. Your best relationship with any of the people in your life begins with God, because it all begins with God. Now, say it like you mean it. Turn to somebody and say, it all begins with God. See, Paul tells us the mercies of God, because of the mercies of God. He saved us. He forgave us. He gave us his righteousness. He sent his Holy Spirit to our heart. He guaranteed us his love. He told us that we fit into the plan that he has for all of the ages. And forever, we will be in a relationship with him. Because of his mercies, you see, he's going to exhort us to some response. And as I said, the first response sets up every other response. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 is the first response to the mercies of God. But then the rest of Romans 12, Romans 13, Romans 14, Romans 15, Romans 16 is a continual response to the mercy of God. It all begins with God. But what's the first and most important response to the mercy of God? It's the worship of God. The worship of God. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Did you know that God created every human being to be a worshiper? God created every human being to be a worshiper. And in fact, Jesus says over in John chapter 4, God is spirit, and those who worship him are to worship in spirit and truth. And then he says this, for such the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is looking for worshipers. Right now, this day, all over planet Earth, God is looking for worshipers. Right now, in South Orange County, God is looking for worshipers. Right now, in Laguna Hills, at Crossline Community Church, at the 11 o'clock worship service, God is looking for worshipers. If you're watching us online, God is looking for worshipers. If you're listening to this message at some point in our radio ministry, Truth That Changes Lives, God is looking for worshipers. And you get to be the worshiper he's looking for. You get to be the worshiper he's looking for, and you don't have to guess at how to do it, because Romans 12:1 actually tells you the response of worship that God is looking for. It's a response to the mercy of God, because it all begins with God, but we respond to it. And how are we to respond as worshipers to the mercies of God? We're to offer our bodies. We're to offer our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. It's our true and proper response of worship. In fact, the word to offer in some Bible translations is surrender. In some Bible translations, it's present. It's the Greek word periistemi. Now, periistemi is a compound word. Istemi means to place. Para means to alongside. So it literally means to place alongside. But it was the word that was used when the priests in the Old Testament brought their offering to God. So to offer your body is to literally picture yourself as an Old Testament priest in the most holy expression of bringing an offering to God, and you bring your offering to God, which pleases him, because it's an act of worship. And what is the offering? It's your body. Well, why our bodies? I think it's this. Our bodies are a symbol for everything, for who we are. Because my mind and my heart, my soul is contained in my body. My thoughts, it's in my body. My desires, that's in my body. My priorities, that's in my body. My thoughts about the future, that's in my body. My concerns, that's in my body. Everything that comes out of me is contained in my body. So if I, see, it's like this. Here's my sermon notes. We can keep these for posterity. They'll probably make $1 million online. So put these sermon notes in this Bible, right? Now the sermon notes are in the Bible. When I place my Bible here, periistemi, I offer it, I place it there. Where are my sermon notes? Where have they been placed? They've been placed there too. Because the sermon notes are in the Bible. So when you offer your body to God, you're offering your dreams. You're offering your fears. You're offering your strengths. You're offering your weaknesses. You're offering your spiritual gifts. You're offering your money. You're offering your relationships. You're offering your thoughts about the future. You're offering your regrets about the past. You're offering all of who you are when you offer your body. And that's what God wants in his worshipers. That's what he wants. He wants us, warts and all. He wants us, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He wants us just the way we are. That's why one of the old songs that we used to sing in the Baptist hymnal, believe it or not, I am an ordained Baptist minister, was just as I am, without one plea, but that the blood of Christ was shed for me. Just as I am, just as I am, I come to thee. Just as I am. You don't have to get any better. You don't have to take a self-improvement class. You don't have to become more religious. You don't have to memorize more Bible verses. You don't have to give more money. You don't have to do anything. You just have to come just as you are and offer yourself to God. wherever you are in the spiritual journey, you just offer yourself to God. That is your pleasing and acceptable expression and act of worship. That's your response to the mercies of God, because it all begins with God. We just respond. And he says here, and I love this, he says this in the New International Version that I'm teaching out of. He says, this is your true and proper worship. True and proper. In the New American Standard Version, it's your spiritual act of worship. Well, how are true and proper and spiritual related? It's actually one word in the original language. It's the word logikos. Logikos. Just think about that word, logikos. What English word do you think we get from logikos? Logical. Logical. It's the most logical thing you can do to offer to God your whole body once you see his mercies. Once you understand his mercies, once you understand his great plan of salvation, once you understand everything he's done for you in Christ, once he understands everything he offers you in Christ, once you understand the mercies of God, the most logical thing you could do would be to offer your whole body to him. This speaks to every person, no matter where you are in the spiritual journey. Because if you've already crossed the line and you're a follower of Christ, you know that Jesus is in your life. You're not perfect yet. You haven't fully arrived yet. You've got more to go in your journey. But the most logical thing you can do would be to offer God your whole life, not hold anything back. Not have secrets, not have parts that you still control. I mean, offer your whole life to God. It's the most logical thing to do in view of his mercies, because it all begins with God. If you're here on this side of the line, you haven't yet given your life to Christ in salvation, and you're thinking about, is it true, and what's my response? God isn't asking you to do some religious thing. God isn't asking you to do some emotional thing. He's asking you to do the most logical thing you could do. He's asking you to do the most intelligent thing you could do. He's asking you to do the most rational thing you could do. In light of his mercy, he's saying, offer yourself. Offer yourself. Offer your body to God. See, it all begins with God. It begins with his mercy. It begins with the worship of God. And what God wants from us as worshipers is to offer ourselves to him. Thirdly, it involves our obedience to God. See, because it all begins with God, and our response is a response of worship and a response of obedience. And in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may test and approve what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So our obedience to God, because it all begins with God, and then we respond, the response of obedience is both one of separation from the world, stopping the world squeezing us into its mold, and one of being transformed and being renewed. So the first response of obedience, once we've offered ourselves to him because we see his mercy, and it all begins with God, is to stop being conformed to this world. In fact, that's actually a better way of understanding this command, this imperative, because it's talking about the conforming process of the world. And it uses the term that we get the word schematic. If you ever looked at a blueprint or an architectural plan or an actual schematic, there's all these plans that, once they're acted upon, then there's a building that's constructed. For example, this structure, when we were redoing it, we had to get architectural plans. We had to get them approved by the city. There was a schematic for it, and then Rick and a whole crew of people went to work constructing this space to look like that plan. The world has a schematic. And it is in the process of squeezing us and conforming us into its mold. And it is happening, because this is a present tense verb. It is happening. And the command is to stop it. The command is to stop the influence of the world squeezing you into its mold. You know, as followers of Jesus Christ, well, just as human beings, as just as human beings, there's some things that we should just stop because they're destructive behaviors. There's some things that aren't productive for healthy living. There's just some things that don't promote a good marriage. There's some things that aren't positive to a growing family. There's just some things that don't help us become mature followers of Jesus Christ. And God says, stop it. Stop that process. In fact, that's actually advice that even psychologists need to give sometimes. In fact, Bob Newhart tells us about that.
Go.
Go.
Well, tell what? Tell me about the problem that you wish to address.
Oh, okay. Well, I have this fear of being buried alive in a box. I start thinking about being buried alive and I begin to panic.
Has anyone ever tried to bury you alive in a box?
No, but truly thinking about it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Well, shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. Most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here they are.
Stop it!
I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes, S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
So, what are you saying?
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who say exactly the same thing you're saying. I mean, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean, you don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? I mean, that sounds frightening.
Yes.
Then stop it.
I can't. I mean, it's been with me since childhood.
No. We don't go there. Just stop.
So I should just stop being afraid of being buried alive in a box.
You got it. Good go. Well, it's only been 3 minutes, so that will be $3.
I only have a five, so.
Well, I don't make change.
Then I guess I'll take the full 5 minutes.
Fine. All right. Well, what other problems would you like to address?
I'm bulimic. I stick my fingers down my throat.
Stop it! Not of some kind? Don't do that.
But I'm compelled to. My mom used to call me fatty.
No. No, we don't go there.
But I've been having this dream.
No, we don't go there either.
But my horoscope did say...
We definitely don't go there. Just stop it.
What else?
Well, I have self-destructive relationships with men.
Stop it! You want to be with a man, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, yes.
Well, then stop it. Don't be such a big baby.
I wash my hands a lot.
That's all right.
It is?
I wash my hands all the time. There's a lot of germs out there. Uh-huh. Yeah, don't worry about that one.
I'm afraid to drive.
Well, stop it! How are you going to get around? Get in the car and drive, you kook!
Stop it! You stop it! You stop it!
What's the problem, Kathy?
I don't like this. I don't like this therapy at all. You're just telling me to stop it.
And you don't like that?
No, I don't.
So you think we're moving too fast, is that it?
Yes. Yes, I do.
All right, then let me give you 10 words that I think will clear everything up for you. You want to get a pad and a pencil for this one?
Right.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here are the 10 words.
Stop it or I'll bury you alive in a box!
God is not threatening to bury us alive in a box. But he does say stop it. And we can, because we're creating God's image, and he's given us a will, and he's given us strength and resources, and because we've surrendered our lives to him in response to his mercies, he's come to live in our lives, and we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, and we have all that we need to follow through on God's will. And it'll lead to healthy living and healthy relationships and the best relationship with God and others. So he says, in response to his mercies, offer our whole bodies to him as an act of worship and obey him in stopping the world squeezing us into its mold and obey him in being engaged in transformation, because it says here in Romans 12:2 that we're to no longer be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Now, being transformed is a work of the Holy Spirit. It says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we all who, with unveiled faces, contemplates the Lord's glory, were being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit transforms us. It's an ongoing process. The Greek word is metamorpho. We get the word metamorphosis. There's a spiritual metamorphosis going on, and a metamorphosis is where God changes us on the outside to be in alignment with what's true on the inside. See, we've become fundamentally new people on the inside as believers in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's who you are on the inside, a new creation. And you're a worshiper, and you're in the process of being transformed. That is, God is making you on the outside what you really are on the inside. Gosh, I see this. I literally see this every week because I have the privilege of watching my granddaughter. She's 10 months old. I see her every week. And it seems like every week at this stage in her life, there's something new that she's learning in her development or something new about changing in her appearance. So right now she's at this stage where she crawls all over the place, but she'll grab onto the coffee table and pull herself up and be so proud to look around and then start walking around. And she's jabbering away. Words aren't really coming out, but you can tell she's talking and she's responding. And now when she wants you to pick her up, she lifts her hands up like that so you can pick her up. You see, because what's happening is she's being transformed. Her outside is matching what's going on her inside, because inside she's being formed into a full adult person. And there's a process that's going on with her, going on with each of us here, goes on with every human being, where we, on the outside, start to look more and function more like what actually is true on the inside. That's transformation. So for the child of God, we become new people in Christ, and God is transforming us. That's God's work. But do you know what? We play a part. Because God's always the initiator, and we're the responders. And this passage says the part we play is we're being transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. As we engage in mind renewal, as we read and study and memorize this book, as we set our minds on the things above and not on the things that are on earth, as we hide this truth into our hearts, as we meditate on the law of God, our minds are being renewed. You see, because truth is coming in. And Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's the transformation. But knowing it, receiving it, studying it, reading it, that's the renewal. And so we're being transformed by the renewing of our minds. God initiates and we respond. So this passage is telling us how to have the best relationship with God and others. It all begins with God. It begins with God. His mercies, we see them, we observe them, we respond to them, we offer ourselves to him. We obey him by stopping the world conforming us into its mold and by renewing our minds so that the Holy Spirit can transform us to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And then this passage says there's a payoff. Because it says, and then you'll be able to test and approve what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. The then, quotation marks, is critical. When is it that we can test and approve the will of God? Well, when we've responded to his mercies by offering our bodies a living and holy sacrifice, and by obeying him and stopping the world squeezing us into its mold, and by renewing our minds so that we're being transformed by the Holy Spirit, then we'll be able to test and approve what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do you know, in my 40-plus years of ministry, and longer than that of being a follower of Jesus, I've discovered for my life and every other person, it's not just me, they've done empirical studies on this, the category of questions that are more than ever asked about God is the category of, what's God's will for my life? Everybody asks it. Young people are asking, what's God's will for my life? Where should I go to college? What should I major in? Who should I date? What should I do after I get out of college? Who should I marry? You know, then people are asking, should we have kids? How many kids should we have? Where should we live? Then is this the right job for my career? Should I change my career? And then you have the whole host of spiritual questions and immediate questions. They're all related to God's will. And we all want to know God's will. Here's a passage from the Bible that actually tells us how we can know God's will. It doesn't tell us specifically for the specific question. It tells us how we can be in a spiritual space that we can hear the answer. Because it all begins with God. Well, what's the spiritual space that we need to be in? Well, because of his mercy, we are to offer our whole bodies to him. We're to stop the world conforming us into its image, its mold, its pattern. We're to be renewing our minds so the Holy Spirit is transforming us. And then we will be able to test and approve what the will of God is. The Greek word is dokimazo, means to approve something after you test it. You scrutinize it, you look at it, you evaluate it, and you figure it out, and then you make the right choice. We receive from God the ability, the discernment, the capacity to test and approve his will when we are responding to his mercies by offering our whole bodies to him and by stopping the world squeezing us into its mold and by engaging in mind renewal so that we're transformed by the Holy Spirit. And then we can always test and approve what the will of God is. And the will of God, by the way, is always good and acceptable and perfect. The will of God for this church is good and acceptable and perfect. The will of God for you is good and acceptable and perfect. The will of God for your children is good and acceptable and perfect. See, it all begins with God. This whole chapter, Romans 12, from verse 3 to the rest, is all about how you connect with people and how you have the maximum relationship with people. But what this passage is telling us, Romans 1 and 2, is you'll never have the right relationship with people until you have the right relationship with God. It all begins with God. You'll never have the right relationship with your spouse until you have the right relationship with God. You'll never have the right relationship with your family until you have the right relationship with God. You'll never have the right relationship with your neighbors until you have a right relationship with God. And so wherever you are in your spiritual journey, what God is saying to you and to me is, have a right relationship with me. Respond to my mercy by offering your whole body to me. By offering your whole body to me. Could we just bow our heads in prayer and in worship right now? God, you're such an awesome God. Your mercy is so glorious. It's demonstrated to us in Christ. You love us. You've forgiven us. You've given us your righteousness. You've given us a plan of salvation. You give us your Holy Spirit. You guarantee your love for us as eternal and unconditional. You cause us to fit into your big plan. You're merciful. May we respond as worshipers by offering our bodies to you. So I just pray for every person, wherever they may be in their spiritual journey, whether coming into this service, they were outside of a relationship with you, or whether they just begun a relationship with you, or whether they've known you for a long time. would you, as a worshiper, offer your whole self to God? If that's your heart's desire this morning, just as we just continue with our eyes closed and heads bowed, if you're wanting to offer your whole self to God, would you just stand up right where you are? Just stand up. You're saying, God, for the rest of my life, I'm going to worship you. For the rest of my life, I'm putting you first. God, I'm offering everything to you. I'm responding to your mercy. Father, I pray for every person in this service, every person watching online, every person who will listen to this message right now in this moment. Holy Spirit, speak your goodness into them. Speak your mercy into them. May every person respond in faith and surrender by offering themselves to you. Lord Jesus, reign in our lives. Transform our lives. Give us the best relationship we can have with you and the best relationship we can have with others. We surrender all. In Jesus' name, amen.